In 1 Corinthians, and this is the last Sunday of this year. And so I'll be a whole nother year starting next week. And I hope and trust that you'll, if you make a resolution, do it for the Lord. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus unto Pentecost. For a great door and effectual door, which for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, which is Timothy, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Now no man therefore despising, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. That word quit is act. Act like men. Somebody wasn't. Let all things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, that ye know the house of Stephanus. They are the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now, I want you to understand, I want to talk to you today about a door and the adversaries. And I think that ought to be our heart's desire. And I believe if you're saved by the grace of God, you have a desire to tell people about the work of the Lord. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about Timothy doing the work of the Lord. And he said, a great and effectual door is open unto me. And he said, there are many adversaries. And a lot of times I think about that, and when I was reading this passage and I was thinking about it, I was thinking about how, if what would I do if a door opened unto me to present the gospel, and I looked at that and I seen that door, and then all I could see was the many adversaries, and I knew that if I went where that door and walked through that door for the Lord Jesus Christ, I was going to have a battle on my hands. Would I go? Or would I just say it's not worth it? And you ought to ask yourself that same question. Would I go? Would I face the adversaries? You say, well, what are the adversaries? Well, let's look at some of them. First of all, turn to Acts chapter 14. Paul's the pattern of us, and we're to follow. Well, look at some of the things that he faced in Acts chapter 14. Notice, I'll tell you what, come back to 13 first. Verse 43 in Acts 13:43. Now when the congregation was broken up. Now you have to go back, and I'm just jumping in here, but Paul had preached in verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the city, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So they heard Paul's preaching, and so they wanted him to come back. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Come down to verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. And folks, that's one of the adversaries right there. It's people see you getting the work of the Lord done, and they realize, hey, he's getting some followers, he's getting the work of the Lord, he's getting some people saved. They get filled with envy. You ain't getting my crowd. And they get mad. Why, he come in here and he's trying to take our church members. Or he's a church splitter. Or he's doing this, he's doing that. And folks, the body of Christ ought to have one goal in mind, and that's to get the gospel out. It's not to build local assemblies and pad the pocketbooks of the preachers. It's to get the world saved if we can. And so envy gets in here, and they get to looking at what somebody else is doing, and they're realizing that they're doing more than I'm doing, or people like them better than they do me, and they get filled with envy, and when they get filled with envy, they're troublemakers. Well, they might be somebody sitting in here, and you don't like somebody to do more, and you think somebody's doing more than you, you get the envy gets built up in you. Look out. Adversaries. Look what Paul went through. Look what he said, verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Come over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 2. But they go in another synagogue. In verse 1, Jews and Greeks believe. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Wanted to cause them hurt to the brethren. Unbelieving Jew, religion. And Paul had to face that everywhere he went. Look with me in verse 19. Verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he'd been dead. They stirred up so much against Paul that they drug him out of the city, stoned him, and I believe Paul personally died. And I believe when he died there in Acts 14, he was raptured. In 2 Corinthians 12, he said, I knew a man above 14 years, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, such a one I glory, how that man was caught up in the paradise, in the third heaven. I believe that in Acts 14, he died and he was... And the Bible said he heard. Now we always add see. But if you check the passage out, he heard words. It's unlawful for a man to speak. Didn't say nothing about him seeing anything. But he heard things. And somebody telling him something. And I believe Paul wrote about it in Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and how that it's the inheritance and our glory and the will of God. But the point I'm trying to make is, folks, whenever there's a door that's presented, there's going to be some adversaries. There's going to be some opposition. And if there's no opposition, then something's wrong. Either you're not preaching and teaching what you ought to be, or testifying the way you ought to be, or something's wrong. The God of this world will oppose you. And he will try to stop you. If he could stop this ministry up here, he would do it in a flash. Why? He doesn't want people in this world to hear anything about Jesus Christ dying for their sins. He doesn't want people to hear that their salvation is paid for. He doesn't want them to hear that they have an inheritance far above all heavens out there. And if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. He doesn't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear that we're going to take the place in the heavens that He now occupies. Now, He don't care how much you go to church and you roll up your little Sunday school quarterly and stick it in your back pocket and go to Sunday school. And most churches, you can go in there, you can drive up in the parking lot, you can take the top of your head off and take your brain out, put it in the glove compartment and go on into the church because you won't need it from then on. Now when you get back out in the car, you better get it back out, put it back in your head because you have to have it to drive home. But inside the church, you don't need it. Why? Now He loves that. He'll applaud you for that. But when you rightly divide this Bible, there's going to be adversaries that's going to oppose you and going to hurt you, and they're out to get you. Look over with me in chapter 17, Acts 17. And I'm not going to spend much more time on this. I just want you to see, everywhere Paul went, he had a group of men that followed him. They're not following him to support him. They're following him to tear him down and to hinder the work of the Lord and to oppose him and cause men to be blinded to the truth and on and on. And I can imagine, I can hear him standing over the side. Well, that's old Saul of Tarsus. Let me tell you how he used to be and what all he did. And they drag up his past, and Paul writes to Philippians, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Listen, that's what the devil want to do, drag up the old past, drag up all what you used to know, what you used to be, and try to get you to looking like the children of Israel. You know, children of Israel saw God part the water and walked on dry ground. And the Bible said the water was a wall unto them on either side. And in you'll find in Exodus said that He congealed the water. Well, folks, He froze that water. There ain't no doubt in my mind that God Almighty, I mean, He talks about the frost coming out of His breath. I believe God froze that water, and the ground was froze when they walked on it, and it would be dry ground when they walked on it, and they went down into that Red Sea, and they saw all of that. And you know what happened? It wasn't long after that. Well, we're thirsty. You bring us out here to kill us? I mean, here they saw God do all of that and they couldn't believe God to give them a drink of water? Wasn't long after that they just got to remembering about the melons and the leeks and all the cucumbers and onions that they used to have back in there and the big steaks and all of that stuff ahead in Egypt, and they got to longing to go back. All we got over here is this old manna. Where's some meat? And God Almighty sent quails in and fed them. And they wanted to go back. That's the way it is with a lot of people today. They see the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. But you know that religious system's got such a grip on them, and they entices them. Well, they don't have nothing for the young people. And we've got all of these different programs. We have a parachute day, and we have all kinds of days to get people in, and circus days, and we bring in the clowns, and we parachute them in, and the fire trucks, and look at what we do, and what we do, and damning souls to hell. I'd whole lot rather have my kids under the gospel than to have them in some religious system where all they going to hear is do good and be a better person and how can you become a better you and just believe in God and all roads lead to heaven. We just all traveling different ones, but we'll all make it if we do the best we can. No, you won't. You'll end up in hell. There's only one way. Many adversaries. Acts 17. What the Bible said in verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. And assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. I mean, these people, man, they were mean, vicious, but they were religious. You know, some of the most vicious people I've ever been around has been churchgoers. That's right. You take an old drunk out here, he knows he ain't no good, and you can just talk to him, he'll just say, that's right. And you know, you take somebody out here that they don't go to church, you can win them to the Lord a lot easier than you can a person that's been raised in a church and all they've been around all that religious stuff, and that's all they know, and they're trusting in that religion to get them to heaven. They're vicious. Luke. All right, after the door's open, what are you going to do with it? You look at it and there's adversaries, and there's going to be adversaries. God opens a door. It might be at your work. It might be one-on-one somewhere. What are you going to do? We'll turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, look in verse 1. Colossians 4:1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. God opens doors for men to speak the mystery of Christ. That's what you got to utter. And you know something, that a mystery there, you find it back in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the body, all associated together. You see, folks, the gospel is foretold in the Scriptures. There was no mystery that Jesus Christ would die. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You find it in Matthew 27. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I know he's talking about the cross. There was nothing mystery about Judas betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that. He talks about the 30 pieces of silver. That was prophesied. There's no mystery about his virgin birth. Isaiah chapter 9, behold a virgin. Now your new Bibles has a young maiden. Folks, that's no miracle. Young maidens has been having children ever since Eve. But a miracle was a virgin. That was prophesied. The resurrection was prophesied that he would raise him from the dead. But I tell you what was not prophesied was that Jesus Christ would go to a cross and die for people like me and you. Now it's a mystery of Christ that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, that He died for your sins and was buried according to the Scriptures, and God raised Him the third day according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel? He died for all of my sins. He took my place on that cross. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Look what he says in verse there. He talks about in verse 4. Whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What is it? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by joining the church. By being baptized? By what? By the gospel. How are you going to get into that body and be joint heirs in that body and partakers of His promise in Christ? By the gospel, folks. That's the door. When God opens the door, He wants you to present Christ and the mystery of the gospel and the body of Christ. He wants you to preach the mystery. He don't want you to tell them how good they are. He wants you to tell them how bad they are. They need a Savior. So the door of utterance is open. And look in Ephesians chapter 6. And we ought to pray for that. And I hope you pray. That's my heart's desire. I want to be used of the Lord. I want to go. I want to preach. I want to teach more this coming year than I did last year. I want people to know that there's a Savior out there. And that Savior is not in some system or a man. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, praying always. Verse 18, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The gospel, the good news, the door into the body of Christ. You see, folks, the door into the local churches across the country is by baptism. That's right. The door into the body of Christ is the gospel. How can I get into the gospel? Believe the gospel. Get in the body? Believe the gospel. So we are to pray that God would let us do that. Now while you're there in Ephesians, just for a few moments, look in chapter 5. This, when you go through the door, and you ought to pray that God would open the door. Folks, don't you want to be used of the Lord? I do. I want to be used of it. Why in the world do you think He's leaving you here just to fill some air, some space? He's leaving you here for a purpose. You're an ambassador of Christ. You have a ministry in the body of Christ. Stephanus over there, the household of Stephanus, had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There's some of you that God would have you to minister to one another. Be a minister to the saints. What is that? It's an edification. It's edifying, building up the body of Christ. There's some of you, you can't go out and teach like others. I guarantee you could go around and there'd be some that'd say, I just don't have the ability. That's right. God never gave you the ability to teach. God might have not gave you the talent to preach. God might not gave you the talent to do certain things that we might do or I might do. But bless your heart, God gave you the ability to do something in that body. One of the greatest ministries in the body is the ministry of edification. You build up the body. You strengthen the body. You support the body. Every one of you can do that. You can give out a tape. You can say, I'm saved by the grace of God. We all got a job to do. And the last thing I want to talk to you, look in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now the NIVs and the RSVs says, imitator. Be ye therefore imitators of God. Now folks, you got a Bible that says imitate God? You need to throw it in the trash. Do you know who the great imitator is? The devil himself. You know that's all he can do is imitate God? And I'm going to show you that in a moment. He's an imitator. Paul never said imitate God. Paul said be ye followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Odor. When Jesus Christ became the sacrifice, it was an odor of incense to God. A sweet smelling odor to the Lord. It was, turn with me and look in Amos. Notice in Amos. Look what he tells them in Amos. Amos chapter 5. Go to Matthew, turn left, and you'll go through Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. You'll pass them little old towns and you'll come right on into Amos. Just stay on, just go to your left, you'll get there. Zechariah, Zephaniah, all them. Look what he says in Amos. In Amos chapter 5. Notice in verse 20. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? You know, I heard a scientist on the radio, and I was listening to it, how that we're losing so much, just a fraction of daylight. And they told that if it kept up, that our part, half of the world, would stay in a darkness. And they was trying to explain it and all that stuff, and these verses come into my mind. It's a dark, gloomy day when the day of the Lord comes. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw it in there. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it. Well, I believe that's going to happen. I hate, I despise. Now look what he said in verse 21. I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. They'd come together. You see, when they'd have an assembly, and they'd burn incense in there. And it was aroma that God would smell, and the sacrifice. He said, I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. They're singing in the assembly. For I will not hear the melody of thy vows. He ain't going to listen to them sing. He's not going to smell when they offer their burnt offerings and their incense in their assemblies. They're having worship service, don't you understand? And it's a stench into God's nostrils. Come down to verse 26. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and him, your images, the star of your God, which ye have made to yourselves. Star of David. Moloch was a god. That's Israel. You know, I believe that's what's going on in a lot of assemblies today. They're singing. And they're having their worship service. And instead of it being a sweet smell to the Lord, it's a stench into His nostrils. You say, what are you talking about? Well, let me just, glad you asked. Turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And we're going to close it out. Leviticus chapter 10. See, I'm like Paul. Halfway through his book, he says, finally, brethren, when he writes. And then he goes on for about three or four more chapters. So finally, brethren, look in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein upon. And offer strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, whatever possessed them to do what they did, the point is, God Almighty killed them. They offered strange fire to the Lord. Well, why? What is strange fire? What are you talking about? The Bible always interprets itself. Turn over to chapter 16. Chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And notice where the fire is supposed to come from. Verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the what? Altar. Before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Then the fire that Nadab and Abihu, they were supposed to get it, they'd get it off the altar. You see, the altar was at the same height in the tabernacle, and that thing out there, it was at the same height. And if you looked right in from the altar, you would see the Holies of Holies and the cherubs and the holy seat where God is. And what's that telling me? The direct way into God Almighty is by the altar. Strange fire was fire that wasn't involved in the altar. Don't you see what's going on in the assemblies today? They're not preaching that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. They're not preaching that the altar is at Calvary. They're preaching strange fire. They're offering strange fire for the Lord. They're telling men they got to be baptized to be saved or to be acceptable to God or keep the commandments or do this or do that. They're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, look over with me to Numbers. Look in Numbers. Just turn over to the next book. Numbers chapter 16. Oh, you'll find old Korah. They got together and told Moses, said, you take too much on you. So finally, old Moses knew what the Lord had told him about that fire. That fire was to come from here. They'd get the coals of fire and they'd put it in their censers. Then they'd go in there behind the veil and they'd burn incense. Moses knew what, look what he's told him. Verse 5, and he spake unto Korah and all of his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and who will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doeth choose, he shall be holy, and ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. So Moses said, go get your censers, boys, put you some fire and some incense. We're going to find it. Now, God done killed two of the priests, boys, Aaron's boys, for putting strange fire around. What do you think he's going to do to these guys? Well, you know what happens. The ground opens up, and I mean, it's bad. Look in verse 46. Verse 35, I mean. God, in verse 33, he opens a pit, and they go down alive into the pit. Verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed 250 men that offered incense. God killed them. Look in verse 46. What's going to save them? God's going to wipe everybody out. What's going to save them? Verse 46. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on the incense. Go quickly into the congregation, make atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague has begun. Fire that doesn't come from the altar is strange to the Lord. Preaching that doesn't center in Jesus Christ as the sacrifice, dying for men's sins and centered around Christ, is strange fire to the Lord, and it's not a sweet incense. You know something? You teachers, you preachers, we come into this place here when we present Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God's sacrifice, as His virgin-born Son, and we preach the gospel. Do you know what that is? That's an aroma to the Lord. That's what Paul's saying there. It's a sweet incense. God enjoys hearing that about His Son. But these places that come and they don't honor the Lord Jesus Christ and they honor their programs and they come together and they have their praise and word and all that stuff and God is not listening to them. He's not hearing them. They're dishonoring the Lord. They're evil people and they're conning people and getting their money and just swindling them in the name of religion. So I don't like that. I don't really care. Folks, that's what's happening in our day. My God, help us. Only this world needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that God would open us a door. And when He opens the door, what do? We preach Christ. We don't preach ourselves. We glory in the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God chose the weak things to overcome the strong and the mighty. The wisdom of this world, the universities all stacked together, is foolishness to God Almighty. And they look at us and think we're quacks. Boy, wait till the judgment. Don't you want God to call you out? So here's your crown, fellas. Ladies, here's your crown. You honored me by supporting you, man. You honored me by being a helpmate to them. He had a ministry. He had a part, and you was a part of that. Here's your crown. Men, here's your crown. And it's gold and silver and precious stones in it. And there you are, ruling and reigning. Folks, that's what it's all about. Well, you know, let me clear up something right here. You know, I get accused a lot by not giving invitations. I do. This is not an altar. We have never slain a sacrifice up here. There might have been people coming here and like to lay me out up here, but they hadn't. We built this so I could see everybody. Isn't it better to be up here than down here, you know? To me, that seems strange. Not that I'm above you, but that's not an altar. The altar is the cross. That's where the sacrifice was made for you. And God made that. Every time I preach the gospel, that's an invitation for you to believe the gospel. When I preach the gospel to people and I tell them all they need to do is to believe, trust Christ, and I tell them they can do it now. Have you not heard me say, you can do it now, sitting in your pews, and God will save you, and nobody will know it till you tell them. Have you ever heard me say that? Should do this. Because I have. That's an invitation, folks. I probably give more invitations in one sermon than most churches do in 6 months. Because I'm constantly telling people to trust Christ. Now, I just thought I'd mention that. So the next time somebody says, you don't give an invitation, say, you give about 20. Okay.